The time will come when man will know even what is going on in the other planets and perhaps be able to visit them. By Henry Ford. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Expert Dale podcast to fulfill your mind with the virtues of life. I'm your host, Umang Panchal, inviting you to join us at Expert Dale podcast, where we meet some enormous personalities from the world and listen them to learn from their stories. Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another excited episode of the Expert Dale podcast. And here we are in episode number 10. And now, when I was thinking about the future of the Earth, the first thought that came in my mind is about the space exploration, the space transportation, and also to live on Moon and Mars maybe. This is so excited. But do you know, guys, have you ever think about how much time it took for a humankind to reach to the Moon for the first time? How many scientists and how many people have dedicated their lives for this kind of research and development programs? And do you know how these scientists can get this fictional idea and make it reality? They made it real on July 20, 1969, when Neil Armstrong became the first person who stepped on the Moon for the first time. It's tremendous. It's awesome. But I want to let you know that the guy, the person, the guest today we have is more amazing than that. Let me share something about him, that he graduated from the Bombay University with his degree in physics. And then he came over here in United States to pursue his master's in aerospace engineer. And then he got his PhD and become the most successful entrepreneur over here in United States. Not only this, but he is also the board member of the very renowned committee named as ASEI. Also, let me tell you something about him, that he is not just a scientist, but he is something more than that, that you will understand by getting the conversation going on. And let me share you something about him, that after meeting him, after getting his personality, I was really speechless. I thought this is the person I can get a lot of inspiration from, his thought, his idea, his personality, and his powerful strategies to do work in this particular field. So without any wasting time, let me invite, with honor and regards, I would like to invite a great successful entrepreneur, a rocket scientist and artist, Dr. Ajay Kothari, who is amazing person that I have ever met in my life. So let's get start talk with him. So thank you so much, Dr. Kothari, and welcome to my show on Expert Dale podcast.
Oh, thank you very much, Umang. It is just, you know, great to be here, and thank you for inviting me. I'm very glad to be talking about all kinds of things, you know, yep, for space and the future, sure, the Moon, Mars future. Yes. But we'll talk about also some art, and yeah, we'll also talk about some past.
Definitely.
At the same time. So
definitely,
we'll try to do that.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kothari, for your words and for your kind information. Also, I would like to say something about Dr. Kothari, that he is the CEO and president of the Astrox Corporation, a company which is dedicated to the research and development program regarding the hypersonic rockets and also some of the space and multiple of the aerospace project related. The company is so renowned that the NASA and the United States Air Force are the customers of it. And Dr. Kothari, I said already that he is the amazing person, but his horizon of the work field is vast and is broader and is expanded in a many other field. You will get thrilled when you listen him. I know that. And then after, you will know that he is not just a scientist, he's an artist and actor as well. So let's start this session with Dr. Kothari, and we will talk some amazing things with him. So Dr. Kothari, I'm really delightful to say that we are originated from a common place named Palanpur, a town from North Gujarat in India. And let me share something about me, that when I was a student, when I was a kid and in my fifth grade, I knew that the chapter that is in seventh grade about the universe, I learned it before going there. And then I started to talk about the moon, the stars, the different galaxies, also the solar system to my friend, parents, and teacher, and everywhere. And this hyped me to pursue this career in my life. But the important thing I want to know from you is, how did you get that fire inside you? And how did you reach your destination? What you want to do in your life, you achieved this. How did you get it? Because the question that I have, at that time, at your time, I think the technology was not so profound. The televisions are rare in India. So how did you make it done?
Well, actually, you are absolutely right that the television was actually non-existent when I was there. But we came from, I guess, the same school in Vidyamandir, named Vidyamandir in Palanpur.
Yes.
And then I was very young, I guess, maybe in seventh or eighth grade or something like that, I think.
Okay.
Maybe 10, 12 years old. I gave a talk to the Vidyamandir students at that time.
Wow.
In Gujarati, of course, no.
Okay.
But on rockets, how the rockets work, or not really how they work. I mean, I really did not understand it that well.
But it's a curiosity.
So it was just the. I had to study for that. Then,
okay.
You know, obviously, right? You know.
Yes.
But it's always been amazing that it's possible. It's a third dimension.
Yes.
To our world, right? You know, the space can be.
Yeah.
Infinite, almost, you know,
yep.
Well, not almost, but it is infinite. And so it was just very interesting. And I learned and I talked at that time that in order to propel forward, you have to send something back, backwards, you know, to create the thrust and all that. So that's all. There wasn't anything much more than that. But it was always very fascinating to be able to visit, to be able to think about visiting or imagine, you know, going to other worlds. And, you know, we are always even as Indians and Vedic Indians and like that, we have always been enamored and fascinated by something completely different, you know, something outworldly and otherworldly and like that.
Yes.
So, you know, in space always has that romantic ideas with it that we identify with as such, even though, you know, some people might say that, hey, why are we wasting money on space and going to doing all these things and, you know, all those. But I feel that we should be doing as a humanity.
Yes.
Humanity is not just as Indians, but even as humanity, or not Americans.
Yeah.
But as humanity, we should be pursuing different things, and different people should pursue different things. Of course, whatever it is that you are best at, you pursue that. If you write, you're best at writing poetry, you pursue that. If you are best at painting, you pursue that.
Yes.
If you are good at rocket science, you pursue that.
Yes.
And that's how we can maximize the impact on humanity by humans, you know.
Got you.
We don't maximize just by telling the whole country that you all should do only this and nothing else, you know.
Yes.
And maximize means optimize also in that sense. So in order to optimize, to make the whole society better, to make humanity better, to go to the next step of evolution, you have to kind of, you know, be willing to do all those things. So that kind of a thing was always there, and that was sort of instilled in us by, in some sense, by our school, by the principal, Suryakant Bhai Parikh, and also by the motto that we had, which was called Better Every Day in that school.
Yes.
There was things better every day. So In order to be better every day, you have to actually figure out what it is that you are not doing right today to be better tomorrow, right? You know, so that was a very, you know, a very nice way to progress. But because of all of those things, I really was very much enamored by space, by being able to do something unusual. So that's kind of how it started.
Wow, it's so awesome, and it's such an inspirational story that you got information from the different sources, even they are available, the books generally. You got to know, and then after you start telling the stories, what you thought about it and how you want to do something like this in particular field, and then your inspiration from your teacher, from your school helped you to get out of the other things and to pursue your career in this particular field.
You know, that the teachers, I really revere them, you know, the teachers from school and the college here at University of Maryland, where I went to, you know, college. I have the same kind of a feeling for them, and I have it that I have for the teachers of Vidya Mandir.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's always been like that.
Yeah. So, Dr. Kothari, how you think about to go to the United States to pursue your further study? Like you have done your physics over here in Bombay University, and then you think to go to another country. Why United States were there, and how you choose your country, and then how you started to study about it, about your PhD, and how you started this kind of stuff?
Well, you know, this is an interesting story. Now, imagine if you can, I'm sure you can, but, you know, other people, you know, sitting on, my father had a farm, you know, large farm, but a farm nevertheless, in the middle of a jungle. And he was also very curious and interested person in different things. At one time in the mid 60s, before you were born, of course.
Mid-60s.
So, mid-60s, we were sitting on the, you know, near our house on the farm in the middle of the jungle. And there was this Advaga living nearby also. You know what Advaga is, probably, or something.
Yes.
Maybe you don't. But it's sort of a, either whether it's a panther or whatever, something nearby, living nearby.
Yes.
We were sitting around the, a campfire and trying to listen. And like you said, we had no television.
Yeah.
But we did have a radio, an old, decrepit, old radio, Philips radio. And we were trying to listen. We were trying to listen to the splashdown of the Mercury capsule at that time. I think it was Mercury or was it Apollo? But was one of the, I think it was Mercury capsule splashdown after, you know, going around the Earth many, many times and, you know, thousands of miles or 100,000 miles, and then coming and splash down within 3 mile radius of where they had originally said that they will splash down. So that was so impressive to me, to my father and everybody, that the Americans are doing this and able to do this, and just, you know, that to me it seemed like this is how we should progress as humanity to the next level of evolution. Wow. It doesn't mean that you should not be doing other things. I mean, in this country, people were doing all kinds of things. And if you remember, that was the time of the counterculture revolution going on. That was also very, very impressive to me, that people are asking all kinds of questions and getting unusual answers. But the space also was quite a big participant in that. And then to me, they're both part of the same coin, actually. You know, the art and the science are not different. It's the same thing. And so this really impressed me, impressed upon me a great thing about this country. That this is where these things are possible. And I said, I want to go there. And I want to participate in that also. And so, you know, that's kind of thing went inside, deep inside. I was not able to do it at that time, obviously. It whatever happened, happened 6 years later, because my uncle sponsored me to come here and to go to school and, you know, all that kind of thing. But that's how this United States became America became a sort of a central attraction for me. Yeah.
I understand that. It's awesome that you get inspiration from that radio and that you understand that this country is going to do something regarding what I actually like. And then you started to think about to go over then and you reached that. That is amazing. That's called your dedication, your passion, and your thoughts really led you to achieve your destination. It's awesome. Yeah, and another important question that happened in my mind because of the curiosity that when you came here in United States and you have found the degree in aerospace and then you got your PhD also in this particular field.
Yeah.
And then it's time to become a successful entrepreneur. It's awesome to see you over here that you have you are the CEO and the president of the Astrox, amazing company. So how did you started this? How did you started your journey as an entrepreneur? What was your thinking about that? And why it's so important that NASA and also United States Air Force, they consider you?
Well, I think, you know, what if you have a certain idea about something in this, there is something called Small Business Innovation yes. Research Program in okay. this country
mm-hmm.
where if you have some ideas, then you can propose that idea to them, to the Air Force or to NASA, and later on to some other agencies.
Okay.
And if they like the idea and if they think that your idea, you know, can lead to something,
mm-hmm.
then for them, or for commercialization, either one or both, okay. hopefully. Okay. Then they will fund it. And so it's kind of, you know, it gives you, starting your own company and all that has pluses and minuses.
Yes.
And the pluses, of course, are that you can change the direction that you want to go into, you yes. know, from, you know, this kind of science to that type of science to rockets to hypersonics to airplanes or some other things.
Yeah.
Or you can go and do some research in some other stuff. So you have that ability,
uh-huh.
which you don't have if you were to get a job and do something where you have to really
mm-hmm.
Continue to do what your boss asked you to do, what your company yes. asked you to do, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So mm-hmm. that's the plus point.
Yes.
Negative is that there are times when you may not have any contracts or enough contracts to be able to do all these things or to keep this truck moving.
Yes.
You know, at a fast pace. So the pace becomes slower and then faster and then slower and faster. It averages out to be you know, good. Anyway, but mm-hmm. these are the, you know, the two different things. But I like the idea of being able to meld my own destiny, make wow. my own destiny.
Yes.
And obviously that requires hard work.
Yeah.
And the, you know, power of your own arms or whatever, yeah. something like that. It's up to you.
Definitely.
And I like that challenge. So... Wow. I decided to do it that way. So it's combination of those kinds of
mm-hmm.
those kinds of things.
Yeah. So I can see that you want to do something from your side and you trust on your knowledge, on your skills, on your powers that you want to change the world the way it is thinking about right now. And you have some potential that you can show to the world. And then after you started to think and to work on your projects, yeah. you had made something to showcase to the others, especially the Air Force and the NASA. And then by getting the funding that right now the investment sharks are there, they are funding to different entrepreneurs. And by that way, you get the government support to establish your own company and you made it.
Yeah. Well, but you know, I have to be honest and say that
yep.
There have been times, I mean, pluses and minuses.
Yes.
So sometimes the idea that you put forward mm-hmm. to the government is accepted or they are interested in it. And sometimes you may have a good idea.
Okay.
But still, it'll not go through the people who are looking at it, or there are other reasons that they want to support something else or something like that. So that also can happen. But that's all part of life.
Yep.
That happens in this, that something else happens for other people in other life.
Yes.
But that's all part of life that you have to live with, and you have to be willing to live with.
Yes.
And but still continue to persevere, and you're continuing to persevere because for a larger goal, a bigger goal,
I understand,
of making things better for everybody, if you can. If you can, and you know, and not just for everybody, but making things better for science, or for
humanity,
for engineering, science, basically science. And you know, you may or may not be successful in being able to do that, but you know, even trying that, is a lot of. Of course, it gives satisfaction, but it's also fun when you are doing it. But it does give satisfaction also.
I totally agreed with you that when you pursue what you actually want to do in your life, I understand that there are lots of things. You will get ups and downs in your life. Maybe sometimes you get victory, sometimes you get a defeat. Though you are a potential person, maybe there are lots of reasons to get a defeat from other side. But it's the perseverance that can help you to go ahead from your lots of challenges. And that's why we really like you, we love you about this thing, to make your career in such a way that the other people get inspiration from that thing. It's wonderful, Dr. Kothari.
Okay.
And another thing I want to ask you is the common human point, or the people right now, they think about that the person should have to become a technological guy, or a guy like a scientist, or a corporate world person, like a manager, or the artist. But I am so happy that you are actor as well. And I'm proud to say that you are the first member of Screen Actors Guild from the South Asian. And it's really amazing. Your distinct quality, this particular
Only for the Washington, D.C. area.
But for Washington area, it was a huge achievement because no any other Indian guy were there at that time. And important thing is, the people, the engineers especially, they have some technological knowledge as well as the quality like this much. They do not show, but from your inspiration, they can come outside from their comfort zone and can show their potential abilities. So what do you think about it? How this kind of passion to become an artist or to become an actor, how this helped you in your life? And what do you want to say about the experience that you should listen the inner voice of yourself to pursue your passion?
Well, I think that we have to, well, I mean, all humans have to attempt or try to live as much of a full life as possible, which obviously combines art and also science.
Yes.
And, you know, people say that these are different sides of the brain or some, you know, something
Yes.
I think that basically we have to try to do that. You know, I mean, this is one of the beefs I have with engineers, for example, that they don't try to do other things while they are doing engineering. And I think that probably is okay. So some people don't want to do it. That's fine. But some people want to do both engineering and science. And actually, I have found many times scientists, like physicists and others. You know, I mean, I had a friend, a physicist who was staying here. And he was a poet also. And his poetry was very interesting and very nice, very fascinating, actually.
Okay.
And so, these kinds of things that one may have, you should give it a vent. You know, you should give it, cultivate all these things. Not only is it good to do that for just your, for the sake of science or art or something, but it's also good for you personally to be able to feel or express these couple of different kinds of things at the same time. So I would say to people that don't suffocate yourself, you know. Do these things as much as you can. Don't you know, you don't have to overdo it, in the sense that, let's say you have an exam in science tomorrow or a week from tomorrow or something, that you start painting today or something like that. No, you do that at that time, but whenever the time is semi-appropriate, may not be completely appropriate, but even semi-appropriate, and also at the same time, if you are getting some kind of inspiration for painting, let's say,
yes,
then do it at that time. But don't do it if your exam is tomorrow, you know, in science.
Yes.
Get up and start painting.
Definitely.
So that's fine. I mean, you know, that kind of a thing. But I think that basically what I'm saying is that you should allow yourself these vent to express other parts. We are, you know, our brain and everything is made up of various different needs.
Yes.
And we have to be able to fulfill those needs also. And not just us, but, you know, sometimes the painting, just like the hypersonic airplane or a rocket, a painting can give a certain type of feeling and a pleasure to other people too.
You know? Yes.
And so I think that that kind of all of those things are good for people to do.
I understand. And you said this amazing thing, don't suffocate yourself. Let express your feeling, what you feel about yourself as well as for your art, your passion. And also the last thing that you have said, let's say it's a painting. You are drawing the painting like a hypersonic aircraft, but I want to point out the Leonardo da Vinci, who have designed the first aircraft officially. It's a painting just, but it became the design resemble like the aircraft. And that's why I can say every scientist or every artist, they have both of the personality, but just they have to bifurcate them.
Right. Yeah. They have to do that.
Yes.
Yeah. So Da Vinci's helicopter, right? The concept of helicopter was obviously there.
Yes.
Of course, you know, that was a different time. And now we are in a different time. I don't want people to get so enmeshed in just simply what they can find on the iPad or, you know, iPhone or something like that. You know, I think that you can use that for other things that you should do also.
Definitely.
But don't make that to be your, you know, end all.
I understand.
That is one of the issues that I have with the younger generation, actually.
That, I understand it.
It's a good thing. It's a very nice, you know, good technology, but don't forget about art.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget about literature. Mm-hmm. Don't forget about other things that we have to continue to produce also.
Yes, and for the evolution of the humankind, for the human manners, we need to understand that out of that digital world, there are a real place, real world. We need to think about it. Yes, this digital digits, the equipment, they can help us. They can help us to explore these things, but they are not the end point for our life.
They're not the end point in that sense. There is something that has happened with human beings, humanity and human beings. You know, after, well, let's say at least 1 billion years of different kinds of evolution that we have gone through on Earth, for example, and, you know, maybe billions of different species that have come and gone, the Permian, you know, all those explosions and things that have taken place. But it's very interesting that the human beings are the only ones who ever thought of all these millions and billions of species, including you know, dinosaurs in it and everybody, everything else.
Yeah.
But we are the only ones, human beings are the only ones who ever thought of using clothes for us.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why was that? So if that is the kind of thing that has happened, then we have to, you know, not that we are uniquely qualified to be better than other species. That's not what I'm trying to say.
I understand.
I'm saying that something did happen, and that means that we have to continue to feed that curiosity of our mind that occurred, probably. That you know, mind and combined effort of many different people that occurred, which didn't occur with other species.
Yes.
But well, somehow or the other that occurred. And we need to continue to push that. And that requires that other people who have different ideas, different thoughts, art, literature, poetry, science, all of those things should be pushed as much as one can, you know.
Yes.
And that's just kind of why I understand. I'm saying this.
It's totally phenomenal ideas that you have shared with us. And if I will go to the past, and I have seen some of the videos and some of the programs of your talk about the space tourism as well as, and now we are seeing the success of the SpaceX for using their reusable rockets. And I also have seen your talk in maybe 2013 to make something like that. And you have designed your own design for the reusable rockets. And that's why I want to know that what is the speciality or what is the uniqueness of that rocket that can help the human race?
Yeah, I think that that is, it's very important. And I mean, you know, I give a very sort of a lame example of what it means is that if you were to go to from here to New York in a car and you were to throw away that car in the ocean there and buy another one to come back or something like that, how expensive and wastage of human resources would that be, right?
You know, definitely
expensive, but it's also a wastage of human resources, Earth's resources. So along both ways, along both lines, I think that that's really bad. So if we were able to reuse, we obviously reuse the car to come back from New York.
Yep.
So if you were able to reuse the rocket, it makes things much, much, much cheaper. When I was doing all these things, calculations, and I was looking at the numbers of the cost of this thing, I found that the cost of the fuel to go from one place to the other, or to maintain that craft, you know, to make sure that 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 rocket would take off correctly, expendable rocket, take off correctly, and you know, all those kinds of things, and the fuel itself was minuscule, only 2 or 3% of the total cost, and most of the cost was actually in manufacturing this vehicle and building, I mean, building and designing and manufacturing this particular vehicle.
Okay.
And then it is what is called, you know, acquisition, acquiring it, or acquisition cost. Acquisition costs were about 97% of the total cost.
Oh.
So if you don't have to acquire that, and if you have, if you can reuse this thing with some, what is called refurbishing, which means maintaining or something like that, it would be so much cheaper. And that, not only is it cheaper, but when it is cheaper, it opens up so many more avenues for doing different things that we otherwise could not have thought about. And so that kind of a thing is that made it very, very, very important that we have the reusability in rockets that we didn't have. And so, you know, I wrote several op-eds, what is called op-eds, opinion pieces in the, in, and did the calculations and wrote all these op-ed pieces in newspapers and other places.
Okay.
And I'm very glad that that's the way things seem to be going for the commercial companies like Bezos' commercial company as Elon Musk's commercial companies, SpaceX and Bezos' new Blue Origin. Mm-hmm. Both of them are gung-ho on, you know, using reusable rockets.
Yes. And it's really amazing thing that you have discussed about this topic in 2013 or maybe earlier than that. And it's a happy moment for both of us as an aerospace engineer that the thing is going in the way that what you were thought about it. And it's the moment when we are getting acceleration in this particular field.
Yeah, I think, yeah, so it's very good. I think it's making a big difference in mm-hmm. being able to do this. And I have some other ideas about using this reusability mm-hmm. to be able to go to the moon even faster than what NASA is planning to do, NASA is planning to do using these reusable boosters. And so that the reusable boosters, and of course they have not yet done the mm-hmm. reusable upper stage, which is the orbital stage, that has not been done.
Yes.
But that'll be also, that is being done by SpaceX in some sense mm-hmm. for a much bigger vehicle called Starship.
Exactly.
But even smaller upper stage. But at this point in time, mm-hmm. even just using these reusable boosters mm-hmm. of either Blue Origin, which is called New Glenn, and or of SpaceX, which is the Falcon Heavy.
Yes.
And then, of course, they'll have Starship. But even using those, and if you don't do the upper stages reusable, if you were to take the upper stage, what you do is that you have three or four flights from Earth to the low Earth orbit, and then you combine the upper stages there together, dock them together, and mm-hmm. make it bigger. Then from there, if you were to take all of them to the moon or most of them to the moon surface, mm-hmm. and then you can use these tanks as habitats for people to live in.
Yes.
And so in some sense, it's called it's a reusability of that, mm-hmm. or it's called repurposing, but it's a reusability, and you can put them, place them. I was doing a radio show mm-hmm. a month ago or so, and we talked about putting them in the lava. On the moon, they have many lava tubes.
Yeah.
So you can go into this and place them in there, and then there is another company called Bigelow, which has been making inflatable habitats, so that can, for example, go into some of these tanks and it becomes a place for people to live.
Wow.
And so it may be, even before doing the upper stage, reusable upper stage, this is a reusability.
Yes.
That. So that's why I have been pretty strong and, you know, proponent of mm-hmm. Reusability for rockets and mm-hmm. reusability for the upper stages, and of course the booster stage already is.
Yes, and it's really helpful to save the resources, the money, that the first thing, because it took millions of dollars to go to the moon and we are wasting it by not using it again. So yeah, as your point of view, it's a really true story. And that's why we, as an aerospace engineer, as a rocket scientist, we need to work on that to go ahead with that. And I have seen some of the projects, and from that, some of the project, I have seen that you and your company, as well as the Jeff Bezos, they think to go and acquire the moon for the first time, and you want to use moon surface to explore the space beyond than that. Now, simultaneously, I can think about the Elon Musk and NASA. They are working on the Mars mission right now. So what do you concern about it? Why you want to go to the moon for the first time, and how you want to explore the world, I can say the universe, from that side as well?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's just in terms of travel time, the moon is 3 days away mm-hmm. From here, from Earth, mm-hmm. and Mars is 6 months away. So let's say that if you have somebody who gets there's a problem and gets sick on Mars, you're living on Mars and get sick, mm-hmm. and you don't have any doctors on Mars yet, you know,
yep.
kind of things. and a doctor is not going to make a, you know, house call or something. I say that often.
Definitely. Parks,
they don't make a house call here.
Yes.
To my own house here in Maryland. But, you know, so obviously that's not going to happen. In any case, I think that before we actually pan out and go and try to live on Mars, mm-hmm. we have to become really an expert in low gravity living environment. Okay. Mars obviously has 0.4 mm-hmm. Gravity and the moon 1/6. Yep. I mean, Mars is 1/4 and moon has 1/6 of the gravitational force on the surface as Earth is. Earth has. So they are in sort of a, you know, similar neighborhood. So I, you know, it, to go directly to Mars and try to do this thing without going to, you know, this thing is right there and the God has given it to us somehow or the other.
Yeah.
You know, it's only 238,000 miles away as opposed to Mars, which is so much more. And even communication time between Mars and Earth would be so much more. Mm-hmm. And so you cannot really do that very well, live communication.
Yes.
Well. So all of those things, and of course, Mars has atmosphere, which is 100 yes. as thick as mm-hmm. Earth. So that's different than Moon, which has none.
Yes.
But most of the Mars atmosphere is CO2. So we'll still have the same kind of issue about taking the tanks and breathing apparatus outside mm-hmm. if we have on Mars as you would on the moon. Mm-hmm. So there is, you know, a lot of similarities between the, between that, mm-hmm. but this thing is only 3 days away. Why would you not do that first? Become an expert in, you know, just if you have a hammer and you are hitting a hammer on a nail, mm-hmm. In 1/6 of a G or 1/4 of a G, mm-hmm. it's a different kind of a moment
yes.
than it will be on Earth. The hammer itself has a weight.
Yep.
And there, the weight is not there. So
exactly.
So you have to learn to do all those things.
Okay.
And the people who are going to live there have to learn to do all those kinds of things first.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have been, God has given this thing to us.
Yes.
If we don't use it, mm-hmm. we are really stupid.
Exactly.
You know, and why would you want to go and try to go directly to Mars where you could have all kinds of issues and problems and people could just simply die and
yes.
not be able to come back. So to alleviate all of those things, in my mind, it's absolutely clear
yes.
that we should be going to the moon, have 1,000 people or hundreds of people living there.
Uh-huh.
And not all of them living there permanently or anything yes. like that or for years. But, you know, I mean, I could imagine, you know, for people going there for 2-3 months,
mm-hmm.
do the work that they need to do to build colonies or
yes.
build, you know, things and explore
mm-hmm.
and go and try to get the lunar ice and start making things from it, mm-hmm. making water, making oxygen. Mm-hmm. making propellants, you know, mm-hmm. liquid hydrogen, liquid oxygen. All of that can be done mm-hmm. by having some people going there for 2-3 months, coming back, then going again, you know, some other people going there. And so at a time, we can have like 1,000 people living there. It will be very exciting,
yes.
very interesting, and it's not going to be that expensive if we are going to use New Glenn's the Falcon Heavy's reusable rockets.
Mm-hmm.
So we can kill all of these, you know, we can do all of these things at the same time. I don't like to say kill two birds with one stone because I don't want to use that.
We can do all of these things
at the same yes. time, and we can do it fast. We can do it quickly. So this is the reason why I have been saying that I think that to some extent we are not doing things right.
Yes.
In the country, you know, with NASA and other mm-hmm. places, and we need to do this with using this reusable rocket as soon as possible.
I totally agree.
Instead of trying to do it with expendable rockets, and in that case, we can have you know, 1,000 people living there or hundreds of people. And that's what I mean by changing the paradigm of what we can do. The paradigm today is, hey, we can have 5 people going there and visiting and then coming back, etc., yes. You know, living there for a few days. Yes. That's not what we want.
Exactly.
We need to have a humanity needs to evolve, expand, and do other things.
Yes.
And continue to do other things also, art and poetry and literature, yes. All those things also at the same time.
Yes, you know, I totally agreed with that thing. And it's an amazing point that you have said. Before exploring the universe more, let's just first acquire the nearest planet, or I can say the nearest moon that we have.
Yeah, acquire the experience. I mean, I don't, you know, yeah, that kind of a thing. Yes, we need to acquire that experience,
yes.
To the T. Absolute, exactly. Experience, mm-hmm. There, you know, where you can, you know, be very reliable in going there, coming back, going, you know, not doing all those things. It, yes. Would be so much fun.
Yes.
I tell you, if you have cameras, you know, live for these people,
mm-hmm.
For the first time going into the lava tube, you don't know what's going to happen inside. What's
going to
find. It could be so exciting. And if it is fed to the people here on, mm-hmm. Earth, I bet you 1 billion people would watch it. You know,
definitely.
At that time. So,
yes, because when I am the true, I can say, the witness of that thing, that every child right now, maybe in my childhood or even your childhood, then not everybody are concerned about this kind of stuff. But now when the SpaceX have done this experiment, yeah. Before a few months, all the little kid, they are aware about what is happening.
Yes.
They are aware about the things, what is happening in the world, what is happening with this space and rockets and all the stuff. And that's why your point is really important. When the people will see what is happening in lava tube on moon currently, and yeah. They get the videos from that, that can ignite the fire inside them to do or to pursue this thing and go ahead what is happening right now. It's yeah. Awesome. And As I think about one important point, that you want to send the people and to leave and to do explore the moon as well. What do you really think about the current situation of the NASA and I can say for the United States moon mission? Because yes, as what you have said, we reached to the moon, but then what next? But then what next? If we can't get anything better for humanity, it's a useless thing. So what do you think about it? And what do you think that how the other companies, how the different companies like the Colony, SpaceX and also the Blue Origin, they should have to do something to get the strong and fruitful steps for it.
Yeah, no, they have to. And I think, they have discovered,
mm-hmm.
That this is fairly sure now that there is about 600 million ton,
mm-hmm.
And 600 million ton, 1 ton is equal to 1,000 kilograms. 600 million ton is 600 billion kilograms of,
yes.
Water,
okay.
Ice, in the, mm-hmm. Form of ice on the South Pole, mm-hmm. Of the moon.
Yes.
Now, it costs about $10,000 to take 1 kilogram of anything to the moon surface. Okay.
Wow.
So if you were to take 1 kilogram of water for, mm-hmm. People to drink over there, that would cost $10,000. And obviously, you know how much water people would have to drink if they were,
yes.
To live there for a month or 2 months or something like that.
I
so see. You have to, you know, take all that water with you. Or you have to remanufacture that water from, you know, urine and all that.
Yep,
kind of thing.
I understand.
So all those things have to be done,
mm-hmm.
Which means that water ice, which is on the moon, which we can get,
yes.
By mining,
mm-hmm.
You know, and cleaning it up, manufacturing, you know, all those kinds of things. That is worth. Trillions of dollars. If you multiply all that, those numbers,
mm-hmm.
It's worth $6,000 trillion.
It's a huge amount.
It's it's a huge amount. The 6,000 trillion, the GDP of this country is in 20 trillion dollar approximately. You know, in that neighborhood. So this is, you know, so much more. So this is the kind of resource that every country is going to go after.
Wow.
China is going to go after that, and other countries will also go after that to be able to mine and to be able to, you know, acquire it for their colonies that they build.
Yes.
These things are important. This water ice is very important for as a propellant, because from this water ice, which is made of H2O, which is H2O, made up of hydrogen and oxygen, can be separated out using solar energy or some other energy into liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen. And then you can refuel your spacecraft on the moon's surface.
Okay.
That will allow you to go to Mars. That will allow you to go to the asteroids, allow you to do many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And since moon's gravity is 1/6 that of the Earth, escaping the moon is cost 1/6 as much as or as Earth. And so all of those things together make it very useful for these companies, you know, Bezos company or Elon Musk company, to be able to doing this, to be able to do this thing commercially on the surface of the moon. And not just them, but maybe other countries, India, China, Russia, Europe, European countries, Australia, all of those countries would be interested in, and they are going to be very interested sometime or the other.
And
they'll keep it quiet.
Yes.
But deep down, we know that the Chinese are very highly interested, and others will also be interested. And we, Americans, need to be interested in that too. And that's, you asked me about the direction that NASA is taking. And I have to say that I think that, they're taking, overall direction is good, but I think one of the things, some of the things that they are doing with where they are using space, planning to use space launch system to go to the moon and all that, is just not the right way, because we are going to have to take 1,000 people there or several hundred people there, and you know, and associated infrastructure there, to be able to do that, we have to, we need reusable rockets.
I definitely totally agreed with that. And when I have seen Jeff Bezos' plan to make a colonies over there, to make different kind of infrastructure over there, it was so amazed. And that's why I think that we, the direction that you have suggested to get the moon for the first time, because competition is going and growing very fast right now. The other countries, they are also participating in the space competition, and it may be not good if we are not ahead from then, then maybe the different situation can be happen. So it's a wonderful point of view. And after this point, the thing is, we have talked about the different benefits from the space and the space exploration, and also about the colonies and how it can helpful for the humanity. But I always think about the different possibilities have the both of the side, the positive and the negative. So if I am thinking as a critic about the space exploration, what do you think that are the major dangers that can be happened from the space exploration? And as you have discussed the different countries over there, so what do you think that can happen in the future if we not take it seriously?
Well, I guess that, you know, we can, there are a lot of things that have happened because of the space. And, you know, these examples are given all the time. And I mean, I'll just state a few here, that the space exploration is the reason why we have these satellites in geo orbit, in geo, where weather satellites, which tell us what is happening, what is going to happen, and you know, you can predict, many thousands and thousands of lives are saved because of because of the ability to predict that this storm is coming, this hurricane is coming, prepare for it, you know, all those kinds of things, which didn't happen 100 years ago.
Definitely.
And people would just simply die. They would not know that a storm is going to come. I mean, all they will have is, the clouds are gathering here. And what is happening tonight or tomorrow or something like that? They don't know that the hurricane is going to be here and people, you know, would die. And, you know, a lot of people, even in 90s.
Yes.
I can't remember the name of the hurricane that came in Florida and many, many people, you know, died. So all of those things, the space exploration is the reason why that doesn't happen today, which is a huge thing.
Yes.
The space exploration is also another the thing why we are able to do what we are doing right now. We'd be able to talk to each other this way through the GPS and the GPS, of course. And be able to talk through the communications and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to be short-sighted about these things and just say that, like I said before, we need to, those people who are doing these space things, well, they should continue to do space things. Okay. Those who do painting well should continue to do painting. We, as humanity, we need all of those things.
Exactly.
It's not just one thing. Don't ever say that, don't do this.
Yes.
Don't ever say that.
Wow.
So do this and do that and do this and do that. But don't say that, don't
do this.
Do this particular space exploration or something. You're not going to know what can happen and what can happen or what will happen. You don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
These things at that time in the 40s or 50s before this, Sputnik had gone up and all of those things that had happened.
Yes.
We could not imagine that all of these things that I mentioned here would happen.
Yes.
And people didn't know that all of these things would be, it would be possible for the all of these things to happen, to have the geo satellites and to have GPS and to have communication satellites and all of those things, massive number of them. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
To be able to do that. So we didn't have that ability to imagine that that would happen, and it did. So I expect that some other unknown things will also happen, and those are the intangible benefits of this. But at the same time, I think that the human stomach is not the only thing that needs to be fed. The human mind also needs to be fed. And this is what has separated, well, not separated. I don't want to devalue animals, but because I love them, you know. But I'm just saying that all of those things need to be also pursued at the same time. So don't ever, tell somebody that, no, you should not be doing this, you know.
Yes.
We should, as a society, we should only be doing this. I don't like that. You know, I just don't think that that's a good thing in the long run.
Totally agree with you, because when you are exploring something, you are getting something that even you didn't think about it before, like the satellites that you have said about him. And I agreed with that. Maybe we are using too much resources from the earth right now. Maybe we are using too much fuel for the rockets and for that kind of system, but also we are trying to get another different fuels for the humanity. We are also going to get another source of the energy for the humanity. And that's why the space exploration is important, though there are some kind of dangers.
So that we are doing that. But, you know, the fuel that goes into rockets is minuscule compared to the fuel that actually goes into the cars.
I agree with that.
you know, minuscule, meaning really, really minuscule. And for someone to make an argument about that, that is just ridiculous. And that's really, you know, a red herring.
Yes, because that's what I have seen in some of the talk and some of the TEDx talk and all.
So I mean, it's nonsense.
Yeah, I totally agreed with you. And that's why we are here to have the humanity. And it was really amazing conversation to get the knowledge about the science, but not only the science, the use of the human potential, the use of human abilities to help the not only the human, but the universe, or I can say the world on the earth. And right. By our efforts, we are doing that thing. And you helped mm-hmm. us to think about more that particular aspects is really awesome. So now we are going for the rapid question answer session of the sure. podcast, and it's like a small questions and the small answers. So let's get start this one. Yeah. I particularly ask these questions because we want to evolve, and whether we know or don't know about the people around us, what they are doing, we cannot grow beyond them, even like them. So the first question I ask is always about what's your morning routine?
Oh, okay. See. Well, I think that the morning routine is to have a large cup of tea, you know.
Okay.
So that's kind of a thing that I learned from my home in India.
Yes.
In Okay. You would gather around, and you know, lots of people would gather around, and family members, and mm-hmm. have many cups of tea in the morning. So yeah, the first routine, and since you want this in short answers, yep. is to have a cup of, you know.
No, I understand, and I used to do that also. Okay. So the second question is, as an entrepreneur, what is the most difficult task that you think?
I would say that the most difficult task sometimes is that I think that the Indian Americans even Indians and Indian Americans are not really getting their worth. Mm-hmm. In this country or in the world,
okay.
at this point in time. And the most difficult task is that we need to be able to not demand, but at least, you know, make it known that, you know, you are Indian Americans are contributing a lot, even just in this country. They are contributing a lot, and a lot, really, mm-hmm. you know, compared to their size of the population and all that, they are really contributing a lot. But, you know, they are really not getting their due recognition, let's put it that way.
Yes.
And that is true here in this country, but that's also true worldwide.
I understand.
And I think that the difficult task, you know, is sort of a generalized task that has become difficult, that people are not waking up mm-hmm. to, I'm talking about Indians or Indian Americans, yes. not waking up to realizing or pushing, I guess, or not mm-hmm. pushing, but, you know, requesting their
okay.
due,
I understand.
Know, in that sense. So
I totally agreed with you.
So, so that sort of, you know, makes it more difficult to do things here also. So that, as an entrepreneur, that is a tough task, you know.
I totally agreed. And I have seen some of your talk regarding the ASEI, and yeah. you are really doing amazing job to raise the voice, to raise the awareness voice for the Indian American community, and is really helpful for us. I wish I can join you later in this particular point. And the third question that I want to ask is about how much time you spend to sleep, because it's important for me.
Oh, how much time I spend doing what?
Sleeping.
Oh, okay. Actually, I sleep maybe 6 hours at night,
mm-hmm.
but 1 hour in the afternoon. So,
you call as a power nap?
Yeah, I do call it a power nap. And then with that, I'm able to work much more in the evening than if wow. I didn't do that. And I'm able to work until, say, 1 o'clock at night. And work, by work, I mean maybe reading, you know, I'm
yes.
reading different things, different books,
yes.
historical things, which I love to read about, you know, even including the history of ancient Vedic Indians, India, and all that kind of thing. So it's just helps you to.
Yes.
So yeah, so 6 hours at night and one in the afternoon. So
no, that's really helpful for me, as well as I have heard a lot about the power nap and I consume that thing as well. So I am glad to hear from you that things.
People are surprised about that here. They don't do that, but I think that's a mistake. But anyway, and it also keeps you quite healthy.
It keeps you quite healthy and productive simultaneously.
Productive simultaneously. And if you are healthier and if you are able to add, you know, I don't want to talk that way, but 15, 20 years to your life.
Definitely.
A lot more time.
Yes.
You'll be able to give to the earth.
Exactly. And that's amazing point, because it doesn't matter how long you live, but if you're living to help the others and by doing something like this thing, you are enlarging your life to make helpful for other. It's awesome idea. Then I really love this. And the next question that I want to ask is about your favorite book and author.
Oh, well, actually, my favorite books are books on ancient Indian history.
Okay.
And I guess my favorite author is Michael. I can't remember his last name, but he lives in India. Actually, he's a Frenchman.
Mm-hmm.
Lives in India and used to live near Pondicherry. I think now he lives somewhere near in Tamil Nadu, actually. A French.
Okay.
But he has written and done a lot of work, and he's written a book on the origin or the lost river called Saraswati.
Oh.
And that was a fascinating book. So that became my favorite.
Yes. Author.
And then, of course, there are many others.
I understand
that. Besides that, you know.
Yes, got you. So this is amazing. I got a new thing from you, and I will definitely read that book as well. And the last question that I want to ask is about, what is your ultimate goal in your life? And you already proved your goal, but how do you want to help the humanity, or I can say the world, the people in the world?
Well, I mean, I want to help humanity in moving to the next level of evolution through science and art, you know, basically.
Yes.
Go one step more, climb one more step in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I can very well appreciate other people who would would be interested in helping people and, you know, and people and all those things. And those things are also there. But I also have this other goal, which is that we need to find solutions to things, many things.
Yes.
What is the universe? Where is the universe? Where does the universe end?
Mm-hmm.
What was the Vedic civilization of India like? When did that occur? I mean, I would really like to be able to do those things also at the same time. So that's why I was talking about, you know, future and past. Mm-hmm. Both are extremely interesting.
Yes. So you wanna combine that future with the past of the ancient India, where they are using these kind of aircrafts. They know how the universe and how.
No. I don't necessarily believe that. But that's not what I mean.
Okay.
What I mean by Vedic civilization is that it is absolutely amazing to me.
Okay.
That the people who existed at that time were able to think think at the level that the people who wrote or composed Rig Veda wrote.
Yes.
So that is amazing to me, that if and how it was possible. And this, if you read this book about Saraswati, how it disappeared, 3000 BC, etc., you know, and that means that this all other things happened before that. How did they do all those things at that time, which is even earlier than Egyptian or Chinese Mesopotamian civilization? So those, that's what I mean.
I understood.
Being able to.
I understood that. And the conversation that we have today is phenomenal. We just learn a lot of things, your thought and your ideas regarding many of the aspects. And friends, I'm a science geek and I know what the importance of the science, but simultaneously, I'm a true believer of the art and human science. And during this talk, we have learned not only the science, but also we learn that the passionate person can achieve his life goal, the biggest life goal, with the strong mind power, dedication, and as per Dr. Kothari says, about the perseverance. And life has many more aspects that you have to concern about it. And when we are learning from this session, Dr. Kothari has said his vision, his idea, and also his journey of life to empower our mind to think a lot more about the future of the earth and to do some action in order to help the humanity. As a scientist, he sought for the nation and for the whole humanity. As a painter, or I can say as an actor, he showed his gratitude towards the different passion and for the different artists. As a painter, he is describing the human creativity of mind on the paper. And by that way, he helped a lot. And I can say this chat, this conversation is one of the best conversations that I have ever had in my life. And the things that Dr. Kothari is doing, exploring the world, doing the passionate thing, don't you think every person want to do in his life? If yes, then please follow and listen Dr. Kothari. He is an amazing person, amazing scientist, an artist and an actor as well. And I truly believe in him and his idea as well. And Dr. Kothari served a lot of things to the humanity that we have to respect him. So thank you so much, Dr. Kothari, for joining us today and for your really, really amazing, tremendous, mindful conversation with us.
No, it's not any of those things, but thank you very much. But I really enjoyed talking and enjoyed your questions and, you know, and hope I was able to answer some of them semi-literally.
No, it was wonderful and tremendous that the things that we got is overall about the human life, if overall about the future of the earth and how we as a human, not as a scientist only, but as an artist, as a human, as a painter, we can help the humanity to grow beyond the limits. Yeah, I think,
thank you very much. I mean, yeah, we should try, you know, we should try to do things which, and not just humanity, but, you know, this hopefully can help other beings on earth also,
definitely.
And, you know, which we all love.
Yeah, thank you so much. So don't forget to subscribe and follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, Breaker, and also on YouTube. And if you like to read something about this episode, you can easily find the keynotes of the episode on our blog. You can get more information in the description, so please go and check it. So stay tuned with us to learn world's powerful techniques, strategies, skills, information to get the virtues of life.